Proverbs chapter 13, verses 6, 9, 13 through 15, 17, and 21. Beginning in verse 6. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. Verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Verse 15, good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. And finally, verse 21, disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. Let's pray and ask God's help again. Father, thank you so much for the richness of your word. God, we want to be a righteous people. We want to know what righteousness is. We want to know how to get it. Lord, we want to know how to live it. And Father, we want to know how to flee from wickedness and evil. And so God, we pray now that as a result of the time we spend together now meditating upon your word, that you would change us, that you would, those of who have come here this morning and are not righteous, we pray that by the gospel of Jesus, you would declare them righteous. And Father, we pray for those of us who have trusted in Christ alone, by faith alone, Lord, that you would work in us holiness and righteousness, that we would actually live out the life of God in us in a way that pleases you and honors you according to your word. And so God, make us a humble, loving, and righteous people, and cause us to be a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I begin with a question that you can think about silently. Are you a righteous person? Are you a righteous person? If someone came up to you and said, "Are you a righteous person?" How would you answer that question? Are you righteous? Righteousness is doing what God commands. Righteousness is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness is living out what we read in God's word, obeying the Lord and all of His commandments, loving Him and all of His commandments. Righteousness is loving the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And righteousness, contrasted with wickedness, is a major theme in the book of Proverbs. Are you a righteous person? Well, the Bible teaches that apart from Jesus Christ, outside of Jesus Christ, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's a sense in which there are no good people. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "There's none good but God." No one is good. No one is righteous. There's a very true and real and biblical sense in which outside of Jesus, there is no one righteous. No, not one. And so the question that ought to be utmost in our minds is, how does a person who is not righteous become righteous? How is a person who is not righteous, since that, at least at some point in our lives, was all of us, how do we become righteous? And this is the good news, that God loves the unrighteous. God loves sinners. God loves those who have not lived up to His standard. And so the prophet Jeremiah, who is looking at all of Israel's sin and rebellion and selfishness and pride and idolatry and adultery and sexual morality and sin, Jeremiah tells the people of Israel, there is a time coming when I will send you the righteous one. In Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, Yahweh is our righteousness. And friends, who is that? Who is the branch? Jesus. Jesus is the Lord, our righteousness. Friends, Jesus is called our righteousness in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus Christ became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's word to you is, you are not righteous. God's word to you this morning in love and care for your soul is that you are not righteous. You have sinned against God. You have broken God's commandments in thought, word, and deed. But the good news is God loves sinners. God loves the unrighteous. And so He sends the Lord our righteousness, Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, who is perfectly righteous, perfectly obedient, always did what God commands, and then died the death of the unrighteous sinner, though he knew no sin, and took our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake God the Father made him, God the Son, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So friends, the answer to the question of how do the unrighteous become righteous is you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust in the righteous one who died the death you should have died and I should have died and was buried and rose from the dead on the third day. If you turn from your sins and believe on Him, God declares you righteous. By faith. It's by faith alone. You cannot work for this. You can't listen to this sermon and not know Jesus and think, well, I gotta change my life. I better start living differently. I need to stop doing this and stop doing that. That's not where you start. You do need to maybe stop doing certain things and start doing other things. But the place you start is, I cannot help myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot make myself righteous. I need the righteousness of another. And you receive that by believing, by trusting in Christ alone, by faith alone. And when you do that, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father declares you righteous and forgives you all of your sins. And so, friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, we're pleading with you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And then you will live more and more the righteous life that these Proverbs encourage us and command us to live. Friends, this is very important. Whether you're righteous or not righteous, your eternal destiny hangs on this. Jesus, in Matthew 25:46, when He's talking about the end of history, when He comes back and divides the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous, He says, and these, the wicked, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Are you righteous? Well, let's look at these verses on righteousness. Point number one, the righteous are safe and secure. The wicked are overthrown. Look at verse 6 again. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked. Righteousness is portrayed or pictured here as a strong guardian. Righteousness is compared to a guard who keeps you safe and protects you from hurt and harm and danger. And the righteousness of God that we receive by faith alone delivers sinners from the greatest hurt, harm, and danger, namely hell. Friends, when I am preaching through these Proverbs, I am preaching through them in light of the whole revealed will of God in the New Testament. So that's why we're going to talk about Christ. These Proverbs point to Christ. And when you hear the sin overthrows the wicked, I'm looking at ultimate realities here. There is a sense in which in this life, sin overthrows the wicked. But ultimately, where will the wicked end up? In hell. Under the wrath of God forever and ever and ever. So when we read these Proverbs, we're thinking about them in light of all of God's revelation in the New Covenant and what in light of what Jesus has done and in light of the ultimate realities of where we will spend eternity, either in heaven and in hell. And the good news of the gospel is the righteousness of God that we receive by faith alone delivers sinners from hell. And those who have Christ's righteousness by faith alone will seek to live a righteous life. Friends, those who have trusted Christ by faith alone, they will seek to obey Jesus. They'll seek to know what the Bible says and do what God has commanded. If you think that you have believed in Christ, but you're not living like what He says to live like, then you have not truly believed in Him. We just spent 1 John looking at that truth. Those who have Christ's righteousness by faith alone will seek to live a righteous life. And when you live out righteousness, there's safety in living the righteous life. There's safety, this proverb says, in living the righteous life. I'll give you some examples. The righteous life means sex only in marriage. That is the righteous life. That's what people do who believe in Jesus. They only have sex in marriage. One man and one woman only. Married. One flesh. That's how God has designed us to be able to enjoy the pleasures of sexuality. And that sex is God's sex. It was His design. It's a good thing. Holy thing in marriage. And when you do that, you guard yourself. This proverb teaches when you do that, when you only have sex in marriage, one man and one woman, not one woman and one woman. God forbids that. Not one man and one man. God forbids that. One man, one woman, married. Marriage is, you ain't never getting rid of me. Marriage is, we're together. Divorce does not come off the lips of the Christian. No, we're in it for good. That's what the Christ follower says. That's what the Bible teaches. When you do that, there's safety. God doesn't tell us this to be a killjoy. He tells us this because this is our best life. When we do what He says, when we live in righteousness and holiness, righteousness guards you. Guarding your tongue. We see that often in the Proverbs. Guarding your tongue guards you, protects you. Honorable use of money. Using money righteously in a holy manner, not going into debt. And I have a friend that I went to Louisville with, and he was in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. I can't remember how much, but it was over $100,000 in debt. And he began to read some Christian principles about money. Oh, what is the man's name? Dave Ramsey. Ramsey, Financial Peace. And Ramsey's no joke, man. He says if you're in debt, you need to start eating beans and rice until you're out of debt. Cut up those credit cards. when you honor God with your finances, right, and do things biblically, there's safety. You're not going to lose your house, right? The creditors aren't going to come and take this and that away. There's safety in living a righteous life with your money, listening to wise counsel. When you don't just do what you want to do, but you say, Howard knows a lot about this particular aspect of life, and he's a very biblical man, and I'm trying to make a big decision on this. I'm going to go talk to Howard about this and get his thoughts on this. When you invite godly counsel and wisdom, there's safety. Spending time with other righteous friends that guard you from the evils of this world. Staying sober, turning away from drugs and alcohol that causes drunkenness. There's safety in that righteous life. Children, obeying your parents. It is a righteous thing to obey mother and father. When you do that, there's safety in that. Righteousness is a guard around you. Obeying God's Word, there's safety and guards you as you obey the Word of God. Putting God first in your life above everything else, there's safety that guards you. Charles Bridges' commentary in the Proverbs, he writes, "The Christian, while walking in his integrity," which means walking blamelessly, walking in righteousness, "never loses his sense of sin or forgets his need of mercy, yet his righteousness is a breastplate, keeping him from many assaults of sin." Friends, walking in righteousness, doing what God says, guards you from danger. Whereas sin will overthrow you. Sin is portrayed here as an evil attacker. Sin will pursue you and attack you and eventually destroy and overthrow you. Unlike righteousness, which will guard you from hurt, harm, and danger, sin will bring hurt and harm and danger into your life. Sin will overthrow the wicked in the sense that sinners will be punished in hell forever. They will be overthrown. They will be cast into the lake of fire where the burning goes up forever and ever and ever. Sin will overthrow the wicked. And living in sin, in the sense that it overthrows, in the sense that life will go badly for you. Life will go badly for you, this Proverbs teaches. If you live in sin, sin will overthrow you. If you disregard God's command about sex only in marriage, then you see sexually transmitted diseases, heartbreak, pain, hurting one another, loss of marriage, loss of family, loss of job when you live in sin, loss of friends, homelessness, overdosing on drugs and dying, emptiness, loneliness, heartbreak. Friends, this proverb teaches all these things, that sin overthrows the wicked and ends in death. And so turn. Turn from sin. God is warning us. And this Proverbs is the father is taking the son aside and saying, "Don't go there, my boy. Don't go there. Don't do that. The righteous life is what you need. Don't go towards sin, my son. I love you. I care about you." This is a father speaking to his child. Don't go there. This is love. This is love. We also see the righteous have enduring joy, whereas the wicked have eternal darkness. Look at verse 9. "The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. The righteous will prosper," the Bible says. Waltke writes, "Light refers to a person's success and well-being. They have joy in this life. Their greatest joy is God Himself. Jesus said, 'I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly.'" Right? There's joy in the Christian life. God is not a killjoy. He's telling us these things. This father, this king, who's talking to his son in the Proverbs, wants his son to have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. The light of the righteous rejoices. There's joy that the Christian should have. It's unlike no other joy because we have God. We have God for our joy, God for our treasure, God for our delight, and He never changes. Think of all the other things that give you joy in this life that aren't God. Friends, you could lose them. Your children give you joy, and they should. But you could lose them. Your parents give you joy. But you can lose them. The things that you have can give you joy, but you can lose them. Your spouse can give you joy, but you can lose them. But you never lose God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is our rock. He is our sure foundation. And He is our great joy. The light of the righteous rejoices because the righteous have God. And we let our light shine before men. We're to let our light shine before men. We let Kay come up and speak and give her testimony because we want to let her light shine before men, that you might see her good works and glorify your Father in heaven for what God is doing in her heart and be moved like her. When we gather together, as Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, we're to encourage one another, loving good deeds. So I hope that just by hearing her testimony, you might be encouraged to go and speak the gospel to someone this week. And you might be encouraged to let your light shine before men and women, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. The wicked will perish. Their light will be extinguished. They will die. And they will suffer eternal, everlasting punishment in hell. Jesus described hell as a place of darkness in one parable where He was talking about those coming to the wedding feast that didn't have a garment. They weren't ready. He says in Matthew 22:13, then the king said to the attendants, bind him, those who don't have a wedding garment, hand and foot, and cast them into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, the light of the wicked will be put out. They will be crushed. They will be destroyed into a place of outer darkness and where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So flee from wickedness and pursue righteousness. Third, the righteous honor God's word and doctrine. The wicked despise God's word and doctrine. This is three verses that focus on this truth, verses 13 through 15. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Whoever despises the word of God brings destruction on himself. This father, speaking to his son in the book of Proverbs, trying to impart wisdom, godly wisdom to him, he's saying, listen, son, if you don't listen to your father, you don't listen to your daddy, but you despise what I'm telling you, then you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed, son. And we could hear today, listen, congregation, if you don't listen to God's word, but you despise His word, then you will be destroyed. Jesus said in John 12:48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Jesus said, you must revere His words and put them into practice. Notice this proverb says, those who revere the commandment will be rewarded. Revere, that's the word for fear. Those who fear the commandment. Those who fear the commandment. I was reading somewhere this week, the man was asking the question, these many pastors are doing these things and losing their pastorate because they're falling into sexual morality and other sins. And the point this man was making is we don't have fear anymore. We don't have fear. A real fear of God that sometimes makes you tremble. I don't want to offend you, Father. I don't want to offend you, God. Please help us walk in fear. This proverb says, he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Jesus spoke of listening to His word and putting into practice in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, as He comes to that great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Friends, we want to be people that Isaiah 66 speaks of. You get this glorious picture of the Lord high and lifted up, great and majestic and far away, transcendent. He says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. This is the one whom I will look. I am high and lifted up and exalted and amazing. But there's one I will look upon. And oh, how we ought to want to be looked upon by God. Oh, Father, let your face shine upon us. Who will He look to? He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." He who is humble and contrite and trembles. Have you ever trembled? Really, really, bodily trembled at the word of God? Maybe before you are thinking of doing this or doing that and throwing your whole life away, and you hear that word come, "You shall not, you shall not, you shall not," and you run away and flee back to God. That's who God looks to. And those who tremble at His word. And notice, not just the word, but the teaching, the doctrine, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Wise, godly, biblical teaching, which is the same thing as doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. If you're going to teach me anything, that's doctrine. It's instruction. It is a fountain of life. And it keeps you from evil that will kill you. True doctrine keeps you from evil that will kill you. Waltke writes, The fountain represents abundant life in fellowship with God through the inspired teaching of His book. His book. Take heed to what you believe about God. Take heed to your doctrine. Take heed to your theology, Christian. That's why wherever you go to church, the most important thing about that church is what they believe. Where is their statement of faith? What do they believe about God? What do they believe about Christ? What do they believe about the Bible? Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine." Take heed. Be careful. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save. You will save both yourself and those who hear you. And friends, godly, the Word of God and godly doctrine says that there's favor. You win favor. Who have these, good sense wins favor. But the way of the treacherous is their ruin. What does good sense mean? Wisdom, discernment, a right understanding of the way things are. Good sense wins favor, which means wins adoration, admiration and praise and honor. You're pleasing and attractive to others. We see this lived out in the lives of many biblical characters. Joseph won favor with those he worked for. Even though he was a slave, he won favor in the eyes of Potiphar. He won favor in the eyes of those who kept the jail. Ultimately, he won favor in the eyes of Pharaoh. And even more ultimately, that he won favor in the eyes of God. Samuel won favor. David won favor. Daniel won favor. And most importantly of all, Jesus won favor. Because of their good sense, their wisdom, their discernment, their right understanding. We see this in 1 Samuel 2:26. The young man Samuel continued to grow both in stature and favor with the Lord and also with man. Daniel 1:9. And God gave Daniel favor. We see it in Jesus, Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Notice that this is growing. Good sense and wisdom is something that you can grow in if you don't have it. And notice it's also a gift from God that you might have favor. God gave Daniel favor. It's a gift from God. And so friends, if you're here this morning and you often think, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, how to parent. I don't know how to parent. I feel like I'm not getting through to my children. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in my job. I don't know what to do in this big life decision. I don't know what to do in this circumstance. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Be like Solomon. Remember Solomon? He started out well. He knew, I'm just a little child. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to lead this people. What did he ask? He asked for an understanding mind. He asked for good sense. He asked for wisdom. 1 Kings 3:7 and 9. Although I am but a little child, starting with humility. You see, you have to first be humble, right? Before you're going to ask for help. People don't want help. I don't need help. They're proud. I can do it on my own. That's not how Solomon starts. He says, I'm a little child. I'm a little baby. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? Ask God for good sense, for wisdom, for help. But the way of the treacherous is their ruin. The way of the treacherous, the way of the faithless, the way of the godless, the way of those who turn away from God and His Word, they will be ruined. If you reject good sense, if you reject wisdom, you will be ruined. Next, verse 17, the righteous can be trusted. The wicked cannot be trusted. Again, we're looking at how this proverb, these proverbs in verse 13 contrast the wicked and the righteous. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, verse 17 says, but a faithful envoy brings healing. When you have an important message to send to someone, a message that could mean the difference between life and death, you want to give that message to someone you can trust. Someone you can count on, like the military commander. And the battle is going so badly that communications have been cut off. You have no phone, you have no Inmarsat Bravo, you have no satellite phone, you have no way to communicate, but you've got this man beside you, and you got to send him to give a message to another general, and your life and the lives of 5,000 of your soldiers counts on him getting that message faithfully to this other general. Well, friend, you pick. You don't care whose feelings you hurt. You don't care who gets offended because you didn't pick them. You pick the number one guy, the one you trust, the one who is faithful, the one, no matter what happens, he is going to get this message to the general, and when he gets it there, it's going to be exactly what I said, exactly the way it said. He said it. I said it. You pick that guy. Friends, that's what this proverb is saying. When you have an important message to send to someone, this is at a time, you know, when these proverbs were written, you didn't have smartphones. You had to trust these messengers who go and take the message. You send someone, when you have a message that could mean the difference between life and death for you and millions of others, you want to give that message to someone you trust. This proverb highlights trustworthiness and faithfulness and truth. Fullness. The message of healing has got to be delivered just as it was given by the king, or it won't bring healing. It will bring disgrace to the king. And so we encouraged here to faithfulness and truthfulness. And friend, what better application? And you can make numerous applications, but what better application to make to us as Christians about how we deliver the message of the king? How we deliver the message of the king. I mean, we just had this, some went to this conference and some listened to this conference on false religions and cults, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Roman Catholicism and the prosperity non-gospel that distort the message of the king. Friends, we want to be faithful messengers. We want to know the gospel well. We want to study to show ourselves approved and rightly handle the Word of God, that we might be the ones God sends. We ought to be going and sharing this gospel. And finally, we see in verse 21, the righteous will be rewarded with good. The wicked will be punished with disaster. Verse 21, disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. Friend, if you are here this morning, and you may be a Christian or not, but you know that as we talk about these matters of righteousness and holiness, you know that you are not pursuing righteousness, but you are pursuing sin. And maybe only you know about it. Friends, this proverb is for you. Disaster pursues sinners. It might not be tomorrow that you're found out. It might not be next week. It might not be for 50 years. But be assured of God's words in Numbers 23:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Disaster pursues sinners. And ultimately, you will be found out when you stand before God and give an account for your life. Every idle word you've spoken, everything you've done or thought, you will stand before your Creator on that day and give an account. And if you're not covered with the robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, disaster will pursue you forever in hell. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9 says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Friend, if you're living in sin, unconfessed, unrepented, hidden sin, come to the light. Come to the light. I love how Dr. Raymond, when he preached a few weeks ago, he said, talk to Pastor Joseph. He wants to help. Yes. Don't keep it hidden. I know that I yell and scream up here, but I don't do that when I counsel people. I talk. I'm actually a very timid person. And so we want you to find help. We want you to come into the light. We don't want you to be destroyed. We don't want disaster to pursue you, but we want you to come to the fountain of healing, which is Jesus, and turn from sin and be forgiven and be healed and be saved and grow to be what God made you to be. And this proverb tells us that the righteous are rewarded with good. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. We spoke about this Wednesday night. All the good blessings we have as believers in Jesus who've been adopted by God. We get to call God Father. He is our Father. He loves us. He cares for us as the best daddy, the best father. You never had a good father? Well, you can have one now. You can have a perfect father, a loving father, a holy father, a caring father, a father who will never walk out on you. Our Father in heaven, and He forgives you all of your sins. No matter what you've done, how bad you've been, how long you've been running for Him, how wicked that thing you've done that you can't even say, you'd be so embarrassed if I knew about that. All kinds of stuff I've done, I'd be embarrassed if you knew about. But God forgives it all in Christ. He forgives it all in Jesus. He counts you righteous. He declares you righteous. He says, not guilty, and all the righteousness of my Son, I count it as yours. Friends, that's why it doesn't matter if you've lived 90 years of sin, rebellion of the worst type. If you come to Christ and believe in Him truly and repent, He forgives you of all that and declares you righteous, and you'll be with Christ in paradise. Because it's by faith alone. And God says, no condemnation for you. The righteous are rewarded. No condemnation. And you get fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And you are with Him forever, where joy will increase eternally. It will only get better and better and better with Him. Friend, that's the reward of the righteous. And friends, why do we have this? Why do we have all this great reward? It's because of what Jesus has done for us. And friends, we're always going to come back to this. Satan hates this part. Satan wants us just to go on and go home now. But why do we have this? Read these Proverbs and think about your Savior. Read them and think about Jesus. Righteousness guards Him whose way is blameless. No one was blameless like Jesus. No one was righteous like Jesus. But sin overthrows the wicked. And yet He was overthrown. He was counted as the wicked one. He was counted as wickedness and overthrown on the cross. Though He did not deserve that. The light of the righteous rejoices. No, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father, that You have hidden this from the wise and prudent, and You've revealed the good news to the babes. He rejoiced in the Father like no one else. But the lamp of the wicked will be put out. His light. He is the light of the world. And it was put out. Darkness covered the land when He was on the cross. He was put out. Counted as wicked, who knew no wickedness. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. Friends, no one revered the commandment like Jesus. And yet, He is the Word made flesh who was despised. He was despised and took the destruction that you and I deserve for our sin upon Himself. A wicked messenger falls into trouble. But a faithful envoy brings healing. He is the faithful envoy. He is the one who was found faithful. Remember Revelation 5? No one is found worthy. I looked everywhere and no one is worthy to open the scroll. No one. And I'm weeping loudly. And then He hears a voice. Weep no more. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered, and He is worthy to open the scroll. Jesus is the worthy envoy, the worthy messenger who came and brings healing to the world. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. Friends, disaster pursued Jesus from the moment He was born. From the moment He was born, they were trying to kill Him. Herod sending the soldiers to kill those who he thought might be the Messiah. Disaster pursued Him all the way to death on the cross. But the righteous are rewarded with good. Friends, He is the ultimately righteous one. And therefore, He ultimately was rewarded with good when God raised Him from the dead. He lives evermore to draw us to Himself and help us. And so we end where we began. Are you a righteous person? Are you a righteous person? If you're here as an unbeliever, friend, believe on Christ. Trust in Jesus, and He will declare you righteous and forgive you of all of your sins. If you are a believer here this morning, if you are a believer here this morning, with the eyes of faith, there's a very strong sense in which you ought to be able to answer that question, yes, I'm a righteous person. Because I believe in the Son, and He's forgiven me and declared me righteous, and I do what's righteous. You should be able to speak like the psalmist by faith. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to the integrity that is in me. O, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous. You ought to be able to speak like the psalmist in Psalm 18:20. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. We're uncomfortable with that. We always think we've got to go around beating ourselves. I'm so bad. I'm so evil. I'm so wicked. Friends, in Christ, we ought to be able to speak like this. Jackie O'Perry said this week, when the psalmist refers to themselves as righteous and upright, it feels strange. I know myself too well to use that kind of language. But that's the problem. My introspection, my looking at self so much, hasn't been anchored by faith. The faith that God has indeed made me new, even when I feel the same. Dear Christian, God declares you righteous. And He's put a new heart in you that you might walk in righteousness. And so live. Live like the sons and daughters of the King that you are. Christ is the righteous, blameless way. Our light, our joy, our hope, our stay. The Word who did all God would say. Yet for our wickedness, He'd pay. Destruction on Himself would pray. Disaster, death, and ruin slayed Him. Then rose triumphant on His day. Now righteous, we by faith will not stray. But we'll live the righteous life empowered by the risen Christ who dwells in us. Let's pray that God would do that more and more as we live for Him. Father, we thank You that You tell us what is righteous and what is wicked. We thank You that You get specific. God, we pray that You by Your Spirit would convict us this day, that You would convict us of ways in which we're living in wickedness and not walking in righteousness. We pray, Holy Spirit, that You would kindly and gently convict us. We pray that You would change us. We pray, Lord, that You would help us more and more walk the righteous life You've called us to live. Father, we pray for those who may be here this morning that don't know Christ and have never been declared righteous. We pray that today would be the day they believe on Christ and are declared righteous by You and forgiven of all their sins. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, our righteous King. We thank You that He defeated all wickedness and rose from the dead. May we have eyes fixed on Him now and forevermore, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.